Lord, we thank you that we can come together this morning, and we do really thank you that we can celebrate Mother's Day, and truly are so thankful for our mothers, so thankful for the sacrifice they give. I just so agree with all of that, and so pray just a blessing on them and their families, and I pray you just honor them, hear their prayers, answer their prayers, God, as they come before you. Lord, also I just pray you just come and visit us this morning and during this service, and just, you know, open up the scriptures to us, open up to what you're doing with us, and give us insight in how to move forward in this life, and just how to walk, you know, walk with you in the things that come before us. And so, God, we just ask you to open our hearts, open my heart, that I only speak things of the Spirit and nothing just coming from my own flesh, Lord. And so I just ask you to honor this service. Come visit us at this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And again, happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. That's one thing we all have in common. We have a mother. All right. Well, let's look at, we're going to start off this morning, and we're going to look at Hebrews 10:38. 10:38. And I just read a portion of that in Hebrews 10:38, and it says this: the righteous shall live by faith. This is what we're coming to now in Hebrews. What we're coming now to in Hebrews is that we have just, as you well know, have just had a truckload of theology dumped on us, you know, a truckload of teaching, you know, and really the meat of the word, the depth of what Christ has done. And so, everybody say amen to that. Amen. So, what's happening here? There in the book of Hebrews, there is really a change, if you will, a pace. Now, there's a change of view how it proceeds, and so we have all this theology that's this teaching that's given us, and what the change is now that we hear that really begins in this verse and goes throughout the rest of the book is application. Really time. Okay, this is what you know, okay, and you do know this, and so it's set up that foundation. It's, you know, now there's an application given us. So pay attention to say how we can live this out, how we can live this out, and that is the purpose for teaching and theology, is to live it out, okay, to live it out, and so it actually has a purpose. So now we're going to look at the application, look into the application. Now, this verse here, what's something interesting about it, the righteous shall live by faith, which just makes sense, okay? You know all this. Now, the righteous, and he's talking about the ones who heard it, the ones who believe, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, if you know, this verse comes from Habakkuk 2:4. So that's where it comes. It's an Old Testament verse. It's Habakkuk 2:4. And it's also quoted here, but it's also quoted in Romans 1:17. Same thing, talking about living by faith. And it's also quoted in Galatians 3:11. Same verse. Okay, so the focus is on faith. And so when in these verses, where these two verses, Romans and Galatians, when Paul is focusing on faith and for our faith, he quotes this verse, just as Hebrews does. Now, I'm on, faith is, quick definition, and we're going to spend a lot more time on this next week, okay? But the definition of faith, as we see faith is when you hear God, okay? You can't have faith unless you hear something God says. I mean, you do this and do well and just have faith. Well, that's not Christian faith. You've got to, you know, this is something where you've heard from God, okay? That's where faith has to come from. And then the second part of faith is you do what he says, okay? So faith is faith, biblical faith. When it says have faith, heard God and do what he says, that's faith, okay? So if you don't hear God and you just do something, there's a definition for that too, presumption. See, it's presumption. And God is not excited about presumption. Okay. So He's interested in you hearing him and then doing what he says. Now, so faith, as you can see, is, you know, this big transitions, you know, that's happening here. Also, as it will pick up on next week, is that one whole chapter 11, is totally given on faith. The whole chapter is on faith and people of faith. So it's like, okay, the righteous shall live by faith. Now here's a whole chapter of people who've done it and how they've done it. So you have an example. I'm telling you, you have an example, and I'm going to tell you about that example in chapter 11 that comes up here. And so, and these are people, you see these people of faith, they're fully devoted to God and hearing what he says and doing what he says. There's a devotion, being fully devoted to God, and they are the examples. And it says it, they are the examples of faith. Okay, now, so as we're coming up to this verse 2, just the few previous verses here, Hebrews 10, 32 through 39, it kind of continues to set the stage for what is necessary for believing faith. So, but it's all focusing, coming together on faith and what we should do. So what I'm going to do is kind of quickly paraphrase, if you will. You can go back and read it on your own, but I'm going to kind of quickly paraphrase these verses, chapter 10, 32 through 39, kind of what it says. It is coming up, the just shall live by faith. This is what you know, and the just shall live by faith. So it's telling us here, but this is necessary to have this faith. Okay, we got the theology, have faith, but this is the necessary and attitudinal necessity to have this faith from based on what we heard. So, with all we know, first of all, what it says here, first of all, what we need to be able to have this faith is we need to remember. That's what it says. You can read it. It says, remember. It says, but it's what's interesting, it tells you to remember. It says, remember the tough times that God has carried us through. Isn't that? That's in the equation to have faith, is to remember the tough times. Now, how many of you ever said, like I've told you about my, why? Why? He says, you don't know why, but I'm in this, you know, but I don't understand it. See, and so God says, when you come through it, you have come through it. And he's talking about what you have already come through. Remember it. Remember what you came through. And so it's very, that's the first thing. So we won't have faith. And, you know, you ever talk to somebody just like, you know, I have all the faith in the world. And you say, this guy hadn't been through nothing. It's kind of like a doctor that's never been to med school. You know, I'm just having a hard time, you know, meeting with you here. Well, see, that's God's end in work. He says, I put you through school and I've taught you, and remember what I have already taught you, specifically the hard times. So that's what he said. And what's interesting, and he's carried us all through hard times, difficult times that we had to walk through. Now, in a very interesting place, when you look at this, it came to mind when I was reading over this, was the prophet Jeremiah. And if you read through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, what I like about Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet. He said, why God? I don't know. I just kind of can relate to him for whatever, you know. But God, what God does with Jeremiah, and it's fascinating. All through, and Jeremiah was, when God called him, it was a terrible time. I mean, he was called for that time, you know. I always get a kick out of him. He says, God calls Jeremiah, he says, you're a prophet. He goes, I don't want to be a prophet. I said, what? He's my kind of guy. He goes, he's not, I don't want to do that. You know, do that. And so, but what he does all through Jeremiah, before God speaks, the first thing before God tells Jeremiah to do anything, and read, this is fascinating. Every time before he tells him to do something, he goes, Jeremiah, remember. That's how every time you read this, he goes, Jeremiah, remember. Remember, and he'll say, who I am, remember what I did. Then he tells him something. See? So it's this. He says, Jeremiah, I'm going to tell you something. And here's your strength. Remember what I already did. Remember, Jeremiah? Then he tells him something. See, and so there's a principle here that Hebrews is telling us. He says, when you have faith, you need to remember what he's already done for us. For you. It's an individual thing, what he's already done. And so what we see here, and we need to understand that our life is not an accident. Our life is not an accident. But I've been through this. I've been through this. I've been through this. Why this? You ever talk to, you know, man of God, woman of God, that really has a great walk in their life? They've been through hellacious things. To the core, every one of them. See? And what they have done is they have taken those difficult times and they have used it, God has used it, and they have received it to build character, to be able to come through this and to be able to make it a positive in their life. Now there's a flip, you know, side. You can become bitter. But you see where that choice lies. See? It's that choice is ours. You can either be bitter or better. Bitter or better. And so, but to do that, you're realizing that, no, God is involved. You know, my life is not an accident. Where I am is not an accident. You know, the things around me are not an accident. And I'm here, and there's somehow that God's going to use it to discipline and disciple me to have me be where I should be. Everything. He knew this. He didn't know this. He didn't know this. You think, well, he did not know. He understood. He understood. Tim Wake called Jeremiah, and he goes, you know, like Jeremiah, he didn't want to be a prophet. He said, I don't want to do that, you know. And it said, and you know when he called Jeremiah, he tells Jeremiah when he called him. Anybody remember? It's in the womb. Well, how do you get out of that? How do you get out of that? See, it's like, well, wait a minute. No, I called you. I knew your name in the womb. You're gone. Okay. So it really didn't make any difference what happened to me, did it? You know, it's not like you didn't know. You didn't know. I love what it says in Psalms 139, and it uses the word, a little bit of a paraphrase, and it's God says, again, he's talking about us in the womb, and he goes, I knit you together in the womb. You go, okay, if he did that to us in the womb, then he's doing something with us outside of the womb. See? And by the way, how much effort did we put forth, or how much did we have to offer God as he's knitting to us together in the womb? Missed a stitch. You know, well, how do you tell when you make quilts, you missed a circle. You missed you got a hole in. No, that's not what happened. So God, what he's doing, he's presenting this to it, and he presents this to Jeremiah. So when he talks to Jeremiah, Jeremiah is in really a bad, worldwide, he's in a bad situation. So he says, Remember me, remember what I've already done. Now he tells him what to do. And then Jeremiah speaks. So the same principle is here when Hebrews starts off, and then he goes, remember. Remember. Okay, our life is, and things that happen, made us who we are. And God's work in us to be who we are. And we are who God wanted us to be, and we are in the place God wanted us to be. How many times of any of those situations have you told God, you made a mistake? You made a mistake. You wouldn't believe the boss I have. You wouldn't believe this guy. God goes, yeah, I did. I made him for you because I had something to tell you. So I made him for you, and I put you under him. I don't like that plan. I don't like that plan. See, but it's like, God put me there. God has him there. Therefore, I have to see, God, what are you showing? What are you teaching? What should we do? Amen? See, and so this is what we have here. This is what he is saying. So, what we need to look at and how God is looking at this, he's told us the theology of what he has done, Christ, in detail, beautiful detail, for 10 chapters. But what we see here, we have to remember that our life is a portrait of God. Our life is a portrait of God. God painted our picture. He painted. We're a portrait. All right? So we are, since we're a portrait, the things happen are God's work in our lives. So in this thing, he says, we need to remember, we think, I want to remember the good times, you know, like that. That's good for the good times when they come. But we need to remember those hard times, which is the substance and the beauty of our portrait. The hard times are the substance and the beauty of our portrait. Let me try. Well, I want to solve the world. No, let me solve the world. I'm working on your portrait and what I'm doing with you. And then you need to realize, don't mess up my portrait. You're my portrait. So, and then it has a line here that's really fascinating when you look at that. It says, we must remember, and this is how he goes in, it says, we must remember so we do not throw away our confidence, which has a great reward. Our portrait and our hard times that he has brought us through give us a confidence. And he goes, don't throw it away because it has a great reward. Now, there's a flip side to that I read in. You can throw it away. You can. Whose decision was that? That was our decision. He says, have confidence in what I've done in making my portrait. Have confidence in it. And don't throw it away because it has great reward. Your background and your life, what you've been through, has great reward. That's what he's telling us. Does that do it? Isn't that a different perspective now? The whole thing, the whole perspective is different. Now again, he spent 10 chapters telling us what Jesus did. Everything. And we're just like, man. He goes, okay, now, this is how it affects you. I've been painting a portrait. This is for you. And this is part of the portrait I'm painting for you. Pay attention. You need to pay attention to what I've done with you. Now you have this information, but pay attention to what I'm doing with you. We are not an accident. We're just not, okay? Don't throw it away. It has a great reward. Now, we're going to talk about this verse more next week. But it also, it so much applies here in what we're talking about in remembering, and says, we got to believe. And by the way, I just had to, got to believe. I started to title the message faith, I said, no, that's just kind of how you got to believe, And so that slang is actually in the dictionary. I looked it up. So they think it's a usable slang. Anyway, you got to believe. That's what you got. That's where God's coming. He comes and he says, you got to believe. I did this. I made you, but you got to believe. See? Now, so this is another thing, like I said, we got to believe. We got to believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I've had several people talk to me, and I can assume they're being sincere and, godly, but wrong. Okay, it's like, no, don't expect God to do something. You just serve Him and whatever, and you know, and it's up to Him, and you know, it's our walk with Him, and we should never put on Him to expect something from Him. Well, that sounds good, all right? Except that's not what the Bible says. It's not. It says you got to believe God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. When it says faith, okay, I'll have faith and I'll have get rewards. No, all the people He talks to and through chapter 11 are the ones He rewarded here on earth. He rewards on earth. All right? So that's a false, I mean, it sounds good. It even sounds holy. It's just not true. And so we said, you need to believe God exists and He rewards. He's real. The Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Jesus said that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You pray that. And this verse that will come up next week, I guess you can't wait to get there. We've got to believe that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. He says it. Now, so we got to believe, that God is moving on our behalf, guiding us and answering our prayers. It's happening. It is happening. It is a truth. How did I get here? Well, let me tell you. You know. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Linda and I, we talk about, we joke about how we got here. We have no clue how we got here. But we like where we went, and this is West Virginia, Alabama, Los Angeles, Virginia. And it says, some people say, well, you know, you plan out. You know, it says here, how did you plan out your life? We have yet to make our first plan. I mean, it just, you know, if we get together and make a plan, it'll be our first one, you know. And we're really, you know, we don't even know where to start. And so, but even when you make out your own plan, you know, it's not going to work. Okay. Maybe God gives you a plan and you should make it. And I'm not against planning. The Bible talks about planning and stuff like that. So don't get me wrong. But what God will trump your plan. He will trump your plan. He will. Now, if you're walking with Him, now, if you're not walking with Him, He may just let you go on and do, you know, He's working other ways there. So, again, He rewards those who seek Him. We need to expect that God will do what He says. See, again, remember where this is coming. This is at the end of chapter 10 and chapter 11. He spent 10 chapters. Says, listen, okay, this is what's happening. And He says, you got to believe I'm working on your behalf. You got to believe I'm answering your prayers. You got to believe I'm moving. You got to believe that you can expect God to do what He says He's going to do. You got to believe it, you know. Well, if I believe it, that means everything is going to go smooth in my life and everything's going to be easy and everybody's going to like me and just it's just not going to have an issue one. That also is not in the Bible. You know, ask Jeremiah. But God used him in a mighty, mighty way and did hear his prayers, did miraculous things through him. So God is trying to give us a good understanding here. And again, remember what He's already done. He knew that. Did you know that God was moving in your life before you came to know Him? Yeah, I look back and I thought, my God, Lord Jesus, it's like I'm alive. Gracious, you know. And so so you see, this is a picture that He's giving us that we need to understand here, that He cares about, He's moving in our life. He loves us, you know, and He wants us to remember, okay? And so And here's something else. Now he comes in, and how he flows in this verses. You can go back and read these verses, but elaborate. He says, we got to remember this also, you know why? So we can endure. We can, made it this far. Remember, I can get through this. This is terrible. Okay, I made it. We can endure. When we remember what we've been through, what God has done, then we can endure what's coming up next. The other side of that coin is something's coming up next. You know, but we can endure that because we remember. So we endure. So we endure. You got to believe so we can endure. We must have faith that when we have done the will of God, we will receive what has been promised. We believe that we've done the will of God, that we will receive what He promised, not something we made up, what He promised, right? See, how many have you? You know, I'm always talking about myself when I say examples. Okay. But how many, God, I did everything you said. But why haven't you done what you said? Well, no. I've done what I've known to do, so I know you will do what you will do. Maybe it's not my timing, but I know it's going to happen. So I'm just hanging on that. I'm hanging on. That's what this verse says. I've done all I can do. This is what I knew to do. Where are you? Now we have faith. We got to believe that He will fulfill His part. I mean, duh. Right? You know, you would think you go through something and you would say, if it asked you, would you believe God was going to do what He said? Absolutely. Okay, you go through, God, I've done everything you said. Now, do you believe He'll do what He said? I don't know. You see how it doesn't connect? It doesn't connect. It's like, no, I've done what I can do. So I'm believing that you will do what you said. Now, we will endure, believe that He will do what He promised, not what we thought up. Okay, now we get this messed up. Or am I the only one who gets this messed up? I think a lot of things, you know. But this is what God says. And you know what God has promised. So, and then we also endure, this is all this, we also endure knowing that in a little while, and this is how it says it, we endure knowing that in a little while, Jesus will come. It's like, that's how we know. He's going to come. Well, I don't know if He's going to come. Okay, see, we got bigger issues with you than we thought. Because you're not sure He's going to come. Now, this is, when you look at this, we can endure because we believe Jesus is coming. You know, that's a big motivation. If we really believe He's coming, we can endure. Now, there's no doubt when it says it in this section, it's talking about His glorious return and coming to earth. But I also believe it includes His intervention and coming into our situation. At that time, He comes in. See, we believe that Jesus is coming into our situation and going to do what He promised. Not just when He returns, He's going to come into our situation and our circumstances. And we believe that. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Like, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, when I come back and destroy everything. Which, yeah, that's a, you know, we'll look forward to that too. That will be done. That will be done on earth. On earth. And He will intervene in our situation. But I want it to be easier. See? Yeah. That's me. I want it to be easier. I always said, my son gave me a saying one time. He gave me some insightful saying, and it was mine. I didn't say it, but he said, he goes, no pain, no pain. You know? And that's kind of me. God, no pain. No pain. God goes, I don't work that way. And if I did, I could never get you to do anything. So I got to work with you. And to work with you, I got to cause you a little pain. I got to cause you a little pain. And that's why we persevere, because Jesus is going to come into our situation. We have faith. We believe he's going to come into our situation. Now, so, and so it's something, it's not a sin. It's not a sin that we endure so that we do not miss God's blessing. Now, I've had people, God bless them, nice people and stuff, that say that is absolutely, totally incorrect. You don't endure to receive a blessing. You just endure because you love Jesus. Now, part of that is certainly true. We endure because we love Jesus. But the scripture also says we will receive a blessing. They're not mutually exclusive, all right? So it's not a sin to say, I'm going to endure, I'm not going to miss this blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. That is even a good prayer. God, help me endure. I'm not going to miss what you have for me. See, that's an interaction of a person interacting with the mighty God to work through a situation, which is what he wants to do. That leads to lots of prayer. Okay, God, I need you to give me strength. I don't see what you're doing, but you show me. I want to endure through this because I don't want to miss your blessing. Absolutely biblical. Totally biblical. It's funny, you can, and just as just me talking, really, some of your seemingly more pious people can really do a mess on your head and your work with God in their piety. Okay, and it's been my experience, it's 9 chances out of 10, they don't live it out. Now, that's just a Wally, you know, insert. It's what the Word says. Now, he's speaking to you. No, I don't want to miss your blessing, God. I'm going to persevere because I'm not going to miss your blessing. Nothing wrong with that. God is pleased with that. God is pleased with that. So what we have here, so the righteous, it says here, it comes at the end of this, at that section, I've been paraphrasing, it says thus, the righteous shall live by faith. That's why you live by faith, because of all these things we just, yes, I'm not going to miss the blessing. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith on what God said, he'll do what he said, his blessing. I am going to persevere. See, I'm going to persevere. The righteous should live by faith. You're supposed to. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay? And Habakkuk, there's a great verse that he gives, and he's another person that kind of encourages me before the Lord, because he's standing before the Lord complaining. He just complained. He didn't understand nothing what's going on. So he and the Lord are having this conversation. And it's really neat because the Lord actually talks to him. He says, listen, you know. And so, and again, Habakkuk's concerns were real. He wasn't making stuff up. He said, listen, this ain't working. It's not working, you know, like how I saw it. And so he kind of comes to grips with everything. And Habakkuk goes, okay, God, okay. He comes to his point of faith. The just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk says this. No overhead, but listen to this. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 through 18. Habakkuk is before the Lord after their discussion. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce on the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take my joy in God of my salvation. Amen. That's faith. It doesn't matter. This stuff doesn't matter. You know? And what he's saying, I'll endure. I'll do it. Yet I will rejoice. All right? What's he rejoicing in? God in his promise. Because he did promise him stuff. He didn't like how it was working out. So Habakkuk shows us that faith, you know, that we stand. But see, it's not a faith just in pie in the sky. No, it's something we heard, okay? And we're standing on what we heard, what we believe, what God has shown us. Again, not what we make up. And you know, we can make up a bunch of stuff, okay? So we need to be, this is the reason it's time, while we spend time with the Lord. Now, how God ends this particular section, and again, you put yourself in God's mind at what God's telling his people. He's telling us something. I want you to get your arms around this, and I want you to use it. Here's the application. I want you to apply what you know, and here's the application. And he's saying, we must live by faith. You must, he's talking, you must live by faith, because if we shrink back, God's not pleased. Well, I thought he's happy with us all the time. No, he loves us all the time. Loves us all the time. Sometimes we don't make him too happy. He's not happy, see? And because if you shrink back, he's not pleased. See, the just shall live by faith. You hear God, you do what he says. We shrink back like you hear God and don't do what he says, or we just make stuff up and do it and try to give God the credit. You know, how many of we do that? Well, we'll do this, and we didn't praise God, and God didn't undo that. See, so if we shrink back, so do have a verse here, okay? Look at Hebrews 10:38. This is the last verse in this section. Hebrews 10:38. The righteous shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Guys, I'm not happy with this. I'm just not happy. Now, when we don't live by faith, God doesn't reject us or dispose of us, and we don't go to heaven. He doesn't do it. That's taken care of on the cross. Amen? We just can't get out. He paid the whole thing, you know. And he even foresaw every place we failed and paid for that. You know, so I mean, it's the sins are covered. But if we just shrink back, you know, and don't do what he says, he's not pleased with our behavior. He didn't reject it. He's just not pleased. Pleased. When Peter was, we are enjoy Peter, because there were several places where Jesus was not pleased with Peter. Just not pleased with him. You know, and Peter was really one that often stepped up in all excitement, stick his foot in his mouth. Okay, so he just, that's who his personality was. And one of the worst things, Jesus, you know, was talking about his coming crucifixion, and Peter said, no, not happening. Not happening. Now, look at Peter. I mean, we've given everything to you, Jesus, and you're just going to trot off and get yourself crucified. That's not fitting into my plan. You're not doing it. And Jesus didn't reject Peter, but he wasn't pleased. He goes, get behind me, Satan. Now, how'd you like Jesus say that to you? I mean, he wasn't pleased with Peter. There's a little verse in it kind of jumps out at me. And it's in, I think it's in Mark. And it's when Jesus returns and he appears to the disciples. And he tells to the ladies and tells them to go to the disciples. Anyway, he tells them and he says, be sure and go to Peter. You know, because he's not feeling good about now. Go to Peter. See, he didn't reject Peter, but he wasn't pleased with him either. Get behind me, Satan. Gosh, he could have just shut up, you know. But anyway, he made his point like that. But here's the verse, the just shall live by faith, okay. But if you don't, he's not pleased. He's not pleased. And if you look at it, you're messing up the portrait he's painting of you. It's the painting he's pointing of you. Forget everybody else. It's the painting he's pointing of you. How many times? Well, what about them? That's a different portrait, you know. It's you. He's painting a portrait of you. And what he's saying, cooperate with me. You live by faith. Well, hear me, do what I say. I'll keep the Ten Commandments. Now, we've already proved you can't do that. That's the reason you're doomed to hell. I paid for that. But now, listen to me and do specifically in your life what I called you to do, and I'll work through you. Hear me and do what I say. That's faith. Hear me first. Now, I'm going to share a couple of verses from Isaiah. And I'll go ahead and tell you how this came about. So, I have a habit. This is one of the few, maybe the only good habit I have. But I too, when I get up more, I just read the Bible. I just do. I always have. I just do it, you know. So no big deal. Just do it. You have a cup of coffee and read the Bible. And so, but these are the two verses I read this week as I was preparing for this message. And I thought, ooh, that fits. You know, it's like, this fits. So I just want to tell you how this came about. And what was interesting, I had like notes and stars by these verses in my Bible. Isn't that neat? But I couldn't remember reading them unless somebody got my Bible and drew their own stars in my Bible. That may have happened. You know, I mean, so whoever read my Bible and drew stars in it, I'm going to read it on their account. Anyway, but it's so fascinating. I'm getting ready for this message and sharing what I'm sharing now. And about having faith, you know, you live by the righteous, the just. The righteous live by faith, you know. If you shrink back, he's not pleased with you. Well, in Isaiah chapter 30, and you put that verse up here, here's an incredible, insightful account about faith and what God desires in our circumstances. This is what God wants right here. Like whoever drew the star in my Bible says, listen, I want you to look. Maybe God drew that star in my Bible. Says, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is in the connection of faith. This is what I want. In your circumstances. And this was in Isaiah's circumstances. Isaiah 30:15. This is what he wants. This is what he wants for you in your circumstances. Your tough, hard circumstances. Isaiah 30:15. In repentance, and repentance means turn. Okay, that just don't. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. He goes, that's all I want. We're wringing our hands and we're just going nuts over the world and the things and our life and our job. And we're wringing our hands and our kids, and we double wring our hands when we think, oh my God. He goes, no, just to turn and rest. That's your salvation. Just rest. See? In quietness and trust is your strength. Like, he's got it. He's going to work it out. He's got it. The righteous shall live by faith. He told us something, okay, and now we're moving on what he told us. And what we have here is that we just rest in it. We just turn to what he said, and we just rest in quietness and trust, and that's our strength. That's all. But that's what he's telling us. And that doesn't that consistently go with what Hebrews says? Wait till the next verse where a star was drawn. I mean, this one, I swear God edited my Bible when I wasn't looking. And what we're going to see in this next verse, tied together, again, it's living by faith. That's what this is God telling us. For this to work, we got to live by faith. Now what we're going to see is God's attitude towards us, his attitude. He said, I just want you to rest. Be quiet and trust your strength. Just rest. Now here's his attitude towards us. God is waiting for us to turn. God is waiting. Now, listen to what I'm saying. God is waiting. God is waiting for us to turn and rest in quietness and trust him. He's just waiting. I'm just going to wait here until you trust me. Quietness, happy about it. I mean, I'm sorry. See, so this, are you ready for this? This is his attitude. Three verses down. He's just waiting. Isaiah 30:18. I bet y'all never read this verse. I think my Bible's the only one has it. And it was edited this week. Isaiah 30:18. The Lord waits to be gracious. Now, he could have said that any way he wanted to say it. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. He's waiting to be gracious to you. And then, he's waiting to be gracious to you. And then, caps and parentheses, and I wanted to circle it, put it in red. Then he exalts himself to show mercy to you. Blessed are those who wait for him. Do you know what he just said? Do you see what he just said here? This is the result. God's actions are the result of our faith. God's actions are the result of our faith. He's waiting for. This is a tremendous insight, and I don't think there's many people that grasp it. In fact, I never read it except, you know, someone who put the star in my Bible and underlined it. But what it's saying here is God is waiting to be gracious to us. He is, now listen to this, every word. He is waiting for us to rest in quietness, trusting him. That's what he's waiting on. He's waiting. He's waiting on us to rest in quietness, trusting him, so he can exalt himself and show mercy to us. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? He is waiting for us to rest in quietness, trusting him, so that he can exalt himself in us. I'm just waiting for you in quietness and trust me. Gabriel, maybe sometime they're getting close. Maybe. And rest, trust, and quietness. Now I can exalt myself. You read what he's saying here? He's not even saying exalt us. He's not saying, oh, I can show them. I finally can exalt myself in them. I can do it now. I can exalt myself, and they'll give me the credit. Because they're resting in me, waiting for me in quietness and rest with confidence. I mean, I don't know where to go from here. And it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. That makes no sense. You know, the sovereignty of God, the ruler of all the universe, can do anything, speak anything into existence, and he tells us, hey, you know, rest and quietness and trust, that's your salvation. And then he says, I'm just waiting to be gracious to you. I'm just waiting to exalt myself. He can't exalt himself because we won't rest in quietness in him. We won't rest, and he can't exalt himself. And when we rest in quietness, he exalts himself. I want to see God move, then rest in him. Fascinating. Then it just ends it. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't get this, blessed are all those who wait for him, because he exalts himself. We're waiting for him to exalt himself. All right? So, we got to believe in rest, quietness, and trust so God can exalt himself. We need that. That's a good memory verse. We just should take that and memorize it for everything we come up with. Now, we'll go back. Here's a summation of everything. Go back to Hebrews and have an overhead here. Think about God's view of us as the people of faith. We're different. We're not like everybody else. We are different. Okay? We're going to succeed in this world like everybody else and make it happen. And you can. But we're different. He said, I'm painting a picture. Pay attention. Hebrews 10:39. We are not. Now, here's the closing. Okay? I said the other verse. But this is the closing. He said, listen. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls and preserve their souls. Okay? Who have faith and preserve their souls. Now, we don't just preserve our souls in eternal life, but also in the quality of life here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. See, eternal life for us begins immediately. So we got to believe because we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who live in faith to the fullness of life. Our life with Christ is preservation. The exact opposite of destruction, both in earth and in heaven. If we are true to our identity, and those, now if we're true to our identity, what's our identity? Chapters 1 through 10. Our identity is in Christ. See, we bought in. We bought in. We heard it. We bought in. Okay, we believe. We believe. If we are true to our identity and take advantage of the resources God has provided, we will find strength to endure in any crisis and never fall away from the truth. Fall away from the truth. Now, I want to share something because I've shared it before and I've had talk with different people and you get as old as I am and stuff. And once you have a shock, is the people in the Christian life that don't finish well. That don't finish well. And you don't understand why they don't finish well. And like some of them really, really, really don't finish well. You know, and you can't quite figure it out. And I think the reason they can't quite figure it out because they don't understand what their identity is. They don't live in that identity. And they haven't given Jesus the chance to exalt himself. They wouldn't give him a chance. They did. They do. They expect it. They didn't give Jesus time to exalt himself. Those that stand with Jesus and with him and in quietness wait for him to exalt himself never fall away from the truth. Never will. Never will. Because they believe. Because they believe, and they believe that Jesus will exalt himself. Now, we need to hear what Jesus said, accept what he said, and act on what he said. We just got to believe. The first thing, you just got to believe. I mean, really believe. Well, how do you express this belief? How do you do this belief? And it's going to be simple. You're not going to like it. When the fooey hits the fan. Okay, there's another word for that in Alabama. Okay, and when the fooey hits the fan, okay, you stand strong. You're not moved. Okay, God. Okay, this don't look good, but you're painting some kind of picture here. And I believe I'm going to just rest and quiet, and you will exalt yourself. See, that's it. You won't fall from the truth. You got to believe. And that's what he's saying. You got to believe. And so you got to believe. And it goes back to the simple verse. Let's go John 3:16. I wish I had put up 2 Corinthians 5:21 after the song Adam sang. That was a beautiful song to that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. But so we stand on this. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should have eternal life. That's simple and easy, right? But we got Hey, folks, we got the meat under that, why that works. We got the meat of why that works, okay? Why that works. And you know, you got to be a pretty tough cookie to be able to persevere. And being a tough cookie means, no, I'm staying because I know with whom I believed, you know? And it's all about Him, and I've got to really trust Him or I'm not going to be able to stand. I got to stand in quietness and trust so He can exalt Himself. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, we love You, and Lord, You're showing us stuff and through the book of Hebrews that, you know, it just is mind-blowing, but we see it from Your point of view and how much You love us and how much You're calling us to believe on You and trust You in all sorts of circumstances, and even getting a hint that some of the terrible circumstances that come our way are for us to stand strong in them in quietness so You can exalt Yourself. You can exalt Yourself. You know, I can even pray and see, Lord, that You really can't exalt Yourself in us unless we go through some tough times. And You're going to pick your people that will stand strong so You can exalt Yourself. And You get all the credit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.